Introduce Cindy, our speaker for this morning. And I don't know how many of you know, but she's a graduate from Bible College, from the Alliance Bible College, CBC. She also worked at the Bible College and Seminary for about 3 years. And then she studied at Providence Theological Seminary. And she has a heart for children and families. She moved here about 2.5 years ago. Hasn't time flown? She's also a practitioner for trust-based intervention, relational intervention, TBRI. It's a biblically based program for families. And she has a real heart for child advocacy, especially in the area of adoption, I think. So she loves to help people, help them gain their voice. And we just want to welcome you, Cindy. I look forward to what you have to share with us this morning.
Sweet. Good morning. How's everybody? You left your phone up here. There we go. Get situated. There. Well, good morning. It's a real honor and privilege to be able to share with you today. I'm really excited about it, and if you would just join me in prayer, that would be awesome. Father, thank you so much that you hem us in behind and before, that you already have a plan in play, that you're restoring us. Thank you for this message that you laid on my heart, and I just pray that it would be a beautiful offering to you. I pray for open ears and open hearts. And I already know in advance, Lord, that you are going to meet people where they're at right now. So we just thank you in advance. And just pray you would take my words and use them for your glory. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Psalm 23. It's a very familiar psalm, isn't it? I'm just going to read it for you now. The Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. Even when I walk through the dark valley of death, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You welcome me as a guest, anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. Amen, right? The Lord is my shepherd. What's a shepherd, really? Webster's defines it as a person who takes care of and guards a flock of sheep. Pretty simple. A shepherd's primary responsibility is the safety and the welfare of the flock. Some flocks may include as many as 1,000 sheep, so I discovered. The shepherd will graze the animals, herding them to areas of good forage and keeping a watchful eye out for any poisonous plants or dangers. But honestly, when I think of a shepherd, I kind of picture a rancher. We have a few, right, in this area. Years ago, as a brand new budding college student from southwestern Ontario, who didn't know anything about Saskatchewan farming, I was invited by a friend to go home with her to the family farm. It was Easter weekend, and calving was taking place. So we all piled in a car together. There was a couple of college students that were from BC, also the city, and this city girl. So we piled in the car and we headed up to Elrose, to farm outside Elrose. So unbeknownst to me, their family had cows, which is pretty common. So anyway, I didn't really understand what the term calving meant. I mean, I figured it was like cows were being born. So anyway, we get up there and the smells from the kitchen of the, you know, the Easter dinner are wafting. Everybody's really hungry, and we're just about to sit down to eat, and a call comes in. The brother, so my friend's dad, the brother phoned, who was also on the family farm. We have a problem. We have a heifer in trouble. So my friend's dad looked at myself and the other student from BC and said, why don't you guys come along and come and see this? Thinking it would be a good experience. So we jump in the truck and we drive out to the heifer, and I will never forget what transpired. So we arrive there to see a heifer in serious distress. The hoof, all I remember, was sticking out of the rear end of the heifer, and it was in trouble. Much to my horror, the farmer went and got a rope, grabbed it, looped it around the hoof, ran the rope back like this, tied it around his waist, and proceeded to pull back like this on the heifer. Now, I'm a mom. And decades later, when I was giving birth to our daughter, I remembered that heifer. So that look on her face, and I felt like I wished I could go back in time and say to her, I know how you feel. So the look and the expression of, so it was sort of an unforgettable moment for this Southwestern Ontario girl. So when I think about a shepherd, I do picture a rancher. You know, verse 1 here says that the Lord is our shepherd, that we have everything that we need, and he leads us like a caretaker. He helps us even when we don't even know we need it, like that heifer. She didn't know she was going to pass away if something wasn't done. You got to do something, right? I forgot to end that story. After that unforgettable moment, and everything was good, everything worked out, calf was born, the farmer just untied the rope around his waist, took off his gloves off of his arm, and he said, let's eat. So it was the lightest Easter dinner I have ever eaten. So the BC guy and I were like over on the side. Anyway, so the Lord is my shepherd, and he knows exactly what we need. You know, some of you this past year know that we made quite a journey as a family. We left home for a long while to take care of my parents, who were not well in the pandemic, in particular my dad, who was home alone, and my mother had needed to go into long-term care the first week of the pandemic. It would take too long to go into all the details of how many times the Lord provided everything that we needed, even before we realized it. It was incredible, the journey, as we journeyed through that difficult place of caregiving. We had everything we needed, from vehicles, housing, finances, and even emotional energy to advocate for parents, to clean up their home, to get it ready for sale. It was just so much. We had places to live amidst the chaos of lockdowns, and all of our needs were met. Verse 2 says, he lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. I love that. Green meadows now always make me picture the Cypress Hills. They do. Although they're not really green right now, right? Because we need that rain. There's nothing quite like it. And as a newer Sasky, the last couple of years, I don't think there's any place like it. The hills are so rugged and beautiful, and it's country that has stood the test of time. The landscape here hasn't changed in thousands of years. I love that, thinking about it. And that's the God that I know. He doesn't change, ever. And when he leads me, it's to green meadows and rolling and lush, right, or pastures. Just like the higher hills on the bench, you know, where many take their cows and they move them in the spring or in the early summer for the cooler, grassy places. He leads me beside peaceful streams. You know, peaceful streams come after torrents sometimes, don't they? Sometimes you have to have craziness before. You know, behind our old home in Ontario, we had a beautiful, awesome. Hands, you're not coming in on cue. We had a beautiful babbling brook that ran across the back end of our property. And it was a conservation area. I used to love to sit in the upstairs part of our home and listen to the babbling brook. And it was just like an inch and a half. And in the summer, the kids would and I would climb in there, and we would look for tadpoles and frogs and play in the stream. And it was a beautiful place. But in the winter and in the early spring, it was a totally different experience. So with all the snow, we got quite a bit, it would run off. And this beautiful babbling brook would become a torrent of danger, like a white water rapid. And it was almost scary. I remember one summer we had particular heavy snowfall, and it was almost cresting the banks at the bottom of our property, and you couldn't go anywhere near. And, you know, in remembering that, I was thinking about Ecclesiastes 3, 1-8, which says, "For everything there is a season, a time for every activity under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to harvest, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build up, and a time to cry and a time to laugh, a time to grieve and a time to dance." In my life, the rapids and torrents of emotions this past year of anger, sadness, loss, grief, are followed by peaceful streams of safety, a place where I can be still and be calm and peaceful and letting my Heavenly Father hold me for a while. Without the winter runoff, I can't experience the peaceful streams of healing. And it's often only when we're calm and when we're peaceful that we can begin to heal. You know, if a patient gets a cut or major wound, they can't get the stitches necessary if they're wiggling and squirming around. I think of my son, sometimes he is rather wiggly, you guys know him. And and sometimes, you know, a little cut to our kids is a bigger deal to them, right, than it is to us. And so there's a big fear factor in our house of rubbing alcohol. Right? Because sometimes they know, it's gonna burn. I'm sorry, it's gonna burn. And we're gonna have to clean the wound first, and then we're gonna have to put a little polysport on it and a Band-Aid. And it's only when I can get him to sit still, stop wiggling, that I can dress the cut. And our Heavenly Father's like that too. He leads us to these places of peaceful restoration, but we have to stop wiggling. And we have to sit in it for a while. It's hard sometimes, amen? Yeah, it's really hard for me, in particular. When we're still, God can operate on us, dressing our wounds and holding us a long while so we can press into him as he ever so gently dips his hand into that peaceful stream and washes our tear-stained face. The comfort and the healing that come when we're still and in that place of safety, when we can sit and we can acknowledge losses and we can grieve them and we can move forward. Peaceful streams and green meadows are places of safety where we can be restored. Verse 3 here says, "He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name." He renews my strength. You know, believe it or not, when I was in junior high, I actually got to go to a track and field meet for high jump. Anyway, I remember this day. We piled on a bus, and it had to be almost 40 degrees with the humidity, just hotter than it is now. It was a brutal day, and this track and field meet was kind of far away. So we piled on the bus, we go, we do our thing, And I had brought a water bottle, but it wasn't enough. You know, a day like that, you want to keep drinking and drinking. And I just remember being so thirsty. So after my event, I had some sort of time, you know, time to kill. And I was just so soaked in sweat, just exhausted, hot, and searching through my book bag to you know, scrape together like enough money to buy a Gatorade. They had these drinks for sale on the sidelines. Nothing ever tasted so good as that lemon-lime Gatorade, icy cold, right? Pop the top, kick it back. Oh, it was total restoration, replenishing, refueling. I felt like I could sort of go on again, you know? And we've all had that experience when your tongue is stuck to the roof of your mouth and you're so dry and you need restoration. When God promises here to renew our strength, he does so fully. When he is renewing our strength, he's energizing, he's reviving us and equipping us to go on, all to bring honor to his name. You know, when we left home, last September, we left leaving everything that we had come to love here. Jobs, security, friendships, to go to a COVID-ridden home province at the time and care for and honor my parents. We couldn't possibly have prepared for what was coming in the months ahead. There were losses, there were hardships, there were housing dilemmas, there were shocks, there were surprises waiting ahead. It was going to take one enormous bottle of Gatorade to get through it. But God was faithful, and he carried us through the disappointments and the brokenness of losing both my parents to dementia and Alzheimer's. He guided us each step with everything, even when things looked so bleak and we didn't even have a place to live. He provided, because that's what he does, right? Giving us strength and guiding our steps. Verse 4 says, "Even when I walk through the dark valley of death, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me." I thought a lot about this when we were away. I mean, COVID was all around us, right? It came into the long-term care, the retirement home adjacent to where my mother was living. 75 people, an outbreak, including staff, and one friend's sister passed away that we had hoped to introduce to my mother. And COVID just encompassed us, but it did not come in. It did not come onto my mom's floor. I couldn't see my parents for months, only between glass. We were separated. You could make a phone call. You could stand outside waving. It was absolutely brutal seeing the pain and the distress in other residents' face who maybe didn't have family. It was so hard. But COVID didn't enter in. And the Lord protected us as we walked through that dark valley. I was thinking about the other part of this verse, too. It talks about your rod and your staff. A shepherd's rod and staff, according to animals.mom.com, allowed a shepherd an extended arm and allowed control over an animal without breaching a sheep's flight zone or point of balance. So I brought a little helper today. Scripture talks about this, and Pastor Hans lent me his cane. So
the rod and the staff is an extension of the shepherd's arm. Reach down to pull the animal to safety. Because sheep are not the most intelligent species, right? They're so alert. So they don't know, oh, hey, you're walking next to a precipice, you're going to fall in. So the shepherd very quickly, he could reach down. And so my friend Triceratops here is just helping. Anyway, I love that picture that the Lord... I love that picture that the Lord gives here
in Psalm 23, and he talks about the extension. And I love that that extended arm allows control over the animal without breaching the sheep's flight zone, without making the sheep freak out. It's gentle, but it's firm, steady. That's the God I know. And the flight zone and the point of balance too. So sometimes God will lead us to a place where he has to extend his arm over us. It won't throw us off balance, but it may be a bit unpleasant, maybe a little bit surprising as he pulls us away from things. Sometimes a danger that we're not even aware of. So God extends his arm over us in times of danger and scary situations, like what we encountered in caring for parents in long-term care. He guides us in such a way that we aren't scared to lose our balance, and he shelters us from fear, further fear. I like that image. So as not to scare the sheep any more so. And they're already in an uncomfortable place. The shepherd will pull back. You know, in the middle of supporting parents and staging and selling their home this past year, our darkest hour, we had a rather unsavory experience with a certain individual. We were bullied, we were attacked, we were slandered, and even so, God provided housing and blessing upon blessing in that situation, all throughout the darkness, affirming that he was with us every step of the way. We were very protected from an unhealthy situation. And I love how the Lord does that. He protects us from stuff we don't even see. As we are healing and being restored, God also extends his arm over us as believers, and he guards and he protects us from unnecessary harm. Verse 5 says, "You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You welcome me as a guest, anointing my head with oil, and my cup overflows with blessing." This has been and was our experience. Verse 6 says, "Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever." The word pursue here gives the image of a loving parent who chases behind their child. We do this all the time in our house. "I'm going to get you. I got you. I got you. I got you." And you run after that kiddo and you grab an ankle or an arm or a leg. And it might be a tickle moment, and it's just playful, but we're in pursuit. I love that image. God constantly pursues us, never faltering in his love for us, both in word and in deed. And this last verse is a great promise. He promises we will live with him. I don't know if it's up there, but John 14, verse 2 says, "There are many rooms in my Father's home, and I'm going to prepare a place for you." The psalmist David was looking forward here to the real ending, which is actually a beginning, a great promise to live in the house of the Lord. We're family, right? Close, cared for, loved, sheltered, home where we belong, important and cherished family members. That's what this verse is talking about. What looks like the end is a beginning. The promise is that this is not the end. I may not have earthly parents that are able to make me feel those things that I just mentioned. They're still with us, but now they need my care. But perhaps, you know, or perhaps someday soon, even they may not even recall my name. We just take it day by day. But David in Psalm 23 here is reminding us as well as himself that there are much bigger things to come. Not only is God's unfailing love and goodness in hot pursuit of us, but we will one day live with him. If we live in God's house, we are chosen family. So whatever you're grieving, and whatever reason, season rather, of life that you are in right now, he is there. And more than that, he promises to lead you. He promises here to restore you, to protect you, to guide. And he's making space for you in your real home, which is his arms. Maybe in this crazy post-pandemic world, you find yourself already resting beside peaceful streams. Maybe, you know, it's gone very well. Or maybe, like many of us, you feel like you've just been on a hike through the darkest Death Valley, and you aren't even sure which direction the green meadows even are anymore. You're wondering if they exist. Maybe as you count your losses, they stack up so high that you haven't the energy to cry. There are people watching this today or a part of this this morning that, you know, are hearing my words that just feel like they can't go on anymore. The hurts are too deep, the exhaustion is too strong, and the way seems lost. He's there. He's there. Job losses, health, loved ones, changes, hurt, heartbreak. Maybe you're just asking the question, what now? What am I supposed to do now? He's there. Let the great shepherd lead you to the meadows and back again to peaceful streams. Sit with him. He promises to bring full restoration, not partial, to your heart. So trust him and press into the great shepherd who isn't done leading, hasn't forgotten you, and has great plans in the works for you to live ultimately with him. I want to read Psalm 23 again. The Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need. He lets me rest in green meadows, and he leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. Even when I walk through the dark valley of death, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You welcome me as a guest, anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. He will set it right. He will bring healing. He will hold our loved ones. He will have a place for us. And if I might, I just wanted to share in closing a song. I just feel like it epitomizes everything. That's by Big Daddy Weave.